Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, wacky devils and demons. This is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
Get down. DJ! Oh, that is gross.
Sports.
Settle down, Beaver.
Do you think you can handle it?
Make some noise!
You are listening to Full Spectrum Horror.
We're there, dude.
Smoke weed every day.
How much news do we have to get to tonight? The 3 of 4. Yes. It's me again, Christopher Highland, and welcome to another episode of Full Spectrum Horror. And yes, I have something caught in my throat. And you can make all the jokes you want. I'm sure you will. And with me, as always, is who is he tonight? Jackie Gleason. Say hello. Yeah, say hello.
Good evening. This is Alfred Hitchcock. And yes, I am doing the horrible Alfred Hitchcock. Gore Scares, everybody! It's the Still Alive, officially 52 years old today, Mr. William Madison, King of Splatterpunk. Yeah! Aren't we excited?
You sound like you're going to wrestle somebody.
Yeah, oh, I'm still alive. Oh, yeah, oh, I'm still alive. Woo!
Back up, everybody. He's going to wrestle somebody.
Yes, I'm doing good. I'm all excited today. Man, Mr. Highland, I mean, seriously, I got 2,000... well wishes from people on Facebook.
Really? Wow.
No, fuck. It was like, oh my god, my Facebook page was just loaded. And then they were hitting my email and shit.
Really?
Wow. Oh yeah, it was fun.
Well, you're certainly more popular than me.
Don't worry about it, you know. I mean, you know, what can you say? I mean, I've been on Facebook for like 13 years, so, you know.
Yeah, longer than me.
And the thing is that, you know, I'm you know, putting stuff up every day and stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know. Of course, you know, now I'm having to do a little starting over, you know, thanks to Facebook.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got a new William Patterson account, so I'm starting to rebuild stuff. You know, my friends are moving over to the new account little by little, so that's good.
Anyway. Oh, moving on down to the east side.
Huh?
You know, the lyrics from the Jeffersons. Moving on
Get
up to the east side. Yeah.
I'm doing good here. Anyways, yeah, you know, I mean, I had my father's birthday is the day before. And so my sister decided that we were going to go out to dinner. We had a wonderful meal over at the Elephant Bar. It's this place over in Burlingame, you know, just fantastic food and stuff. And The place is right on the edge of the bay, so you look out the windows and all you see is the bay, and you see San Francisco International Airport and stuff. It's beautiful. So, fantastic. You know, pre-birthday thing. Today I've been pretty much relaxing and stuff, watching movies, you know, having fun. Anyways, so, let's start out with a little bit of horror news. You know, the thing is, people, what you don't realize is that when it's coming up Horror News Month, Mr. Hyland goes out of his way. He goes all over the internet scoping for that amazing, fantastic horror news that only he can present. And, you know, he works tirelessly on this. So, you know, we give him praise on that.
Yes, whereas it's not garbage. It's not garbage. Yeah. It's kind of a mixture of stuff that actually counts. And on the other half, it's kind of like the kid in me saying, oh, and I'll only report what I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Now with me, I'll go in the day before and I'll just go, okay, let's look at this. Okay, that was good. Slam it on a piece of paper and, yeah, I got horror news. yeah, I know. You're going to say, you're evil.
This boy is evil, I tell you. Evil.
Okay,
yeah,
I think we scared enough of our listeners for one night. See, how many listeners do we get rid of already?
Mr. Hyland, please. You know, I know you've been waiting to see Suicide Squad, but please don't be channeling Enchantress now.
Okay.
Okay, before our listeners get bored, we have a bit of news, and I will get through that in rapid succession.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Four up, and first up is a nonfiction book, an audiobook about the production of Young Frankenstein that comes out August 18th. And next is an audiobook collection of four Kolchak books. And this includes the original books by Jeff Rice, one about Kolchak and Sherlock Holmes called Cry of Thunder, and one by C.J. Henderson called Kolchak and the Lost World. And that will be released November 1st. And next up is a movie adaptation of the Dan Wells novel called I Am Not the Serial Killer. Now, I've actually listened to this book, my book, and it's pretty good. And it says this will be released August 26th in a limited release. And this stars Christopher Lloyd and Laura Fraser, whoever that is, and Carl Geary, whoever that is. And last, but certainly not the least, is a film adaptation of the classic Shirley Jackson novel, We Have Always Lived in the Castle. Now, this will also star Crispin Glover, who is returning to horror, surprisingly.
Hmm.
So what's Crispin
Glover's going to be in it, huh?
Uh-huh.
Cool. All excited, man.
No release date on that, but look for that in the future. I'm sure everyone will hear more about it. Okay, that's my horror news. What do you have?
Alrighty, well, we're going to get back to Kolchak the Night Stalker on my horror news here, because our favorite veteran reporter with the fashionable pork pie fedora is making his debut on Netflix. And for those of you who like to actually keep these series and stuff rather than just having to go on the computer and watch them on Netflix, Kolchak the Night Stalker is actually coming out on DVD again after 12 years. You know, they actually haven't had a DVD version of Night Stalker for that long. It amazes me because, you know, I mean, it was such a good series. I mean, yeah, it only lasted one season, but, I mean, there were 20 incredible episodes. And, anyways, so, that is going to be, released, through Universal on October 11th, 2016. So, all excited about it. Alrighty, so anyways, next on my horror news, and I think my dear friend Johnny Johnson would be very interested in hearing about this, because another filmmaker is doing another Plan 9 remake. Seanan Sheen Solomon, a Persian-American filmmaker known for writing and directing and producing and starring in Sinbad, The Fifth Voyage, you know, that was in 2014, is actually going to be making a Plan 9 remake. You know, he's trying to get financing on this, so you know how it is. We'll see if he can actually get the money for this. So, anyways, so you know, sorry, Johnny. You know, he's going to be doing that. Alrighty, and, of course, you know, for Godzilla fans, in Japan, they've already released Shin Godzilla, which is also known here in America as Godzilla Resurgence. That is the new Japanese Godzilla film that's coming out. Fans in Japan have had some mixed opinions on it. You know, the Godzilla in it is CGI, but you know, what's funny is that they make it look like he's a man in a suit. And from what I've heard, the movements on it are unusual. You know, they're not ultra realistic. There's scenes where he's standing perfectly still. except for his tail, which is wagging around, and that, you know, supposedly this gives the Godzilla a look of power, you know, because you're seeing the Japanese military just blasting away at him, and he's not even making a move. I don't know. I mean, to me, I would say I would appreciate a little bit of movement in my Godzilla, you know. And they said that this film is really, 75% of this movie is about Japanese politics and how, how the military deals with situations. So, anyways, I've heard a few reviews on it, and it's back and forth with the fans. So, you know, what do you think, Mr. Hyland?
I'm not sure. I'm behind on Godzilla.
Hmm.
I'd have to catch up to form an opinion, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully it's better than the American version. I was really pissed off at the fact that they kept cutting off the Godzilla fighting thing. It really got annoying. You know, people paid money to see Godzilla, and it was like, oh well, you know, here's Godzilla, he's gonna fight. Oh, shift to the military. Supposedly in this one, they don't do that as much, but what you see is you see a very still Godzilla in many ways. And there's scenes where he's actually got his mouth opened and stuff, and looking more like a suit. I don't know. From what I've heard, the actual design of the Godzilla is very interesting. They take, you know, it's a lot more traditional. It's got a little bit more of a bulkier chest and that, and the teeth are all over the place, and the eyes are definitely different from earlier Godzillas. So it'll be an interesting film to check out. Definitely.
Huh.
So anyways, that's what I've got on horror news.
Okay. Okay. So, well, different this episode. I have a little bit more time to fine-tune a review. That's right, a review. Not doing my usual three. But this time, I actually chose a movie that is worth spending just a little bit more time on. And it is actually worth reviewing. Now, I have heard of this movie for quite some time. I might have mentioned it in the past. I've heard of this movie for many, many years, but couldn't find it. But I managed to find it a few months ago. And before you get mad at me and scream at the speaker, oh, just say the damn movie already. Okay, it is called Jack's Back. It stars James Spader. It's from 1988.
And for those of you who have no idea what it's about, it's a murder mystery.
Rubs the lotion on its skin.
Yes. And it takes place in 1988, and it is about the 100th anniversary of Jack the Ripper. But instead of London, this takes place in Los Angeles. And James Spader plays this, he's not a full-fledged doctor, but he plays a intern at this free clinic. And there's this person who is killing prostitutes, and he catches someone in the, well, not exactly in the act, but he suspects, it looks like one of his colleagues kills this prostitute who wants an abortion, and he chases his colleague back to the clinic. They struggle, and the person strangles him, and he hangs him with a rope. And as he's hanging, you cut to what you think is him having a dream. You think what happened is a dream. Actually, it's not. It turns out the person who woke up is the doctor's twin brother. And so what the person was dreaming was he was actually dreaming his twin's death.
Interesting.
And I thought that was pretty innovative.
Okay, the hell of a drug.
So you find that the twin realizes what happens. He contacts the police, finds the brother's body in the meat wagon. And so the police doctor hypnotizes the twin to see if they can get anything more out of him. And of course, that does work. And then later on, the twin does some investigating of his own. Because the police think, oh, the case is closed. They think the doctor was responsible for everything. And, of course, the twin realizes, oh, that's not the case. So he investigates on his own. He meets this female doctor at the clinic. And they get to talking, and she helps him out. And later on, he realizes, oh, it's this person in the background of this one photograph that he finds in his brother's apartment. And so he tracks the guy down, and And they fight, and the police get to him, and let's see what else happens.
Huh.
And he gets arrested, and they take him, and and you think, oh, that's the end of the movie, everything's wrapped up, but apparently the guy who works there, who strangled the doctor, it turns out he actually didn't do the killings. Apparently, he really actually did kill the doctor in self-defense, but I'm thinking, okay, that's a bit far-fetched. I mean, you strangle him, and he manages to come to, and then he goes one step further and puts the rope around his neck and hangs him. I mean, come on, that's it is just too much.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So it turns out that he wasn't the killer, but the head doctor at the clinic. And I suspected him in the middle of the film when the head doctor approaches the suspect.
Huh. Interesting.
And the twin realizes when he knows who it is because of the shoe. There was a shoe print outside the lady's house. And then he gets hypnotized again by the police doctor, and he sees the doctor, the head doctor, in his vision, and he realizes, oh, it's that guy. It's not the suspect. So he races back to the lady he met, and I don't know why the head doctor was trying to kill that lady, but for some reason he was. And so the twin races back and saves her life and manages to kill him. And that's it.
Intriguing. Yeah, saw Jack's Back years ago, you know, when it first came out. My mother and I went and saw it at the movie theater. You know, it wasn't a great film. I mean, you know, they had made it out like it was supposed to be a slasher film, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, it was really a full-fledged murder mystery.
Yeah, it was more of a thriller than really a full-on, you know, Jack. You know, okay, well, you know, they made it out like someone was being possessed by Jack the Ripper, but it really wasn't. So it was one of those situations where you had really bad promotional on the film. You know, but, you know, as far as thrillers goes, it was pretty cool. I mean, you know, it was James Spader during his earlier, you know, career and that, you know, I saw him as he built up his career, so it was it's something that you can look back on and see, you know, how much he's improved as an actor. Because wasn't he the he was the twin, right?
Yeah.
If I recall. Yeah, he was the main character, he was the twin. Yeah, that was interesting. Alrighty. So
Watching this reminded me of this one show that he's on that I haven't seen yet called The Blacklist. And I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Cool.
But then again, I'm behind on a lot. So I'm sure I'll get to it at some point. But
yeah.
as for a rating, what do I rate this? 4.5.
4.5 out of 5?
Yes, this is something that even if this is not a movie that you're used to, this is a movie you should see.
Good deal.
And they did a great job restoring it.
Nice. Well,
the picture quality is great.
that's good to hear, because I mean it hasn't gotten much play on it got a limited play in on videotape and then on DVD for the longest time, because you know it wasn't that popular when it came out, so you know it was one of those hidden gems. So it's good. It's good that they're actually showing it a little love. That's good. Definitely good to hear. Alrighty, well, now it's time for mine. I'm actually going special because it's my birthday. I'm going real special for my review this time, because the thing is that my movie that I'm doing is an absolutely brand new film. And what it is it's the third installment in ABCs of Death. You know, this is ABCs of Death 2.5. And the thing is that this film is actually made up of all, you know, well, not all, but 26 of the best of the submissions for the M contest. You know, you remember that, Mr. Hyland, that they were, you know, giving independent filmmakers a chance to have their film, their 3-minute film put into ABCs of Death 2. So they reserved the M for, an independent, you know, somebody who's not a well-known filmmaker. So they got in hundreds of independent films by some very talented filmmakers. And what is funny to me on this is, you know, I hated, honestly, sincerely, I hated ABCs of Death, and I hated ABCs of Death too. I, as a writer, do not believe that people can make a good film in 3 minutes. You know, I mean, if you're trying to do a story, it is incredibly hard to do anything with 3 minutes. You know, it's tricky as shit. You know, you don't have a lot of time for creativity. You don't have a lot of time for characterization in that. I mean, it's terrible to work with in that amount of time. But, you know, and the thing is that when it came to, I found with ABCs of Death 1 and 2, the filmmakers were too much into themselves. They were like, oh, well, we're well-known filmmakers. Oh, well, we're getting money. We're getting the money to do these installments. Who cares? We'll just throw something out there. I mean, shit, you know, you probably heard the thing about the one filmmaker, that what he did is he took the money that the ABCs of Death production company gave him, went on vacation, and then used what was left to make his film. And just stuck it out there. And it's like, oh my God. But anyways, so the thing is that, I mean, you know, on Faces of Death 1 and 2, I mean, I did find a couple of, you know, very, very well done films. I mean, ones that people actually gave a shit about when they were making it. I mean, one was, you know, in Part one was the dogfight one, And two, there was one that was it was a homage to Masters of the Universe and stuff, and it was about a couple of fans who get jammed into the world and they like Masters of the Universe, and they find out, oh no, it's not fun, it's a nightmare going into this world. You know, that people are actually dying and shit. So, you know, the well wish that, oh yeah, I'd love to be E-Man. Oh no, you won't. But anyways, yeah, so those were the good ones in part one and two. This, you know, and the thing is with part one and two, I got so overwhelmed by having 26 individual segments in 3 minutes each that I'd end up getting bored and falling asleep on them. Surprisingly enough, with this film, ABC's of Death 2.0, I wasn't bored at all. The filmmakers who worked on this, I have to give them kudos beyond measure. Beyond measure, Mr. Hyland, because they took this incredibly difficult project, you know, doing a 3-minute horror story, and these people came into it with incredible imagination and stuff. I mean, you know, some of them came in with humor, some of them came in and actually tried to do characterization and stuff. It was outstanding. You know, it's a shame though, because I watched all of this through, didn't fall asleep, believe it or not. And unfortunately, a couple of segments that I really liked that had been on YouTube didn't actually make the cut on this, and it's a shame because the one was the short done by Tiffany Shepard, and the other one was the one that had Bill Oberst Jr. in it, where he was the guy who, the carny guy who was helping a kid get revenge on his abusive father. But, Mr. Hyland, they did include the one film that I honestly thought should have been the M in ABC's of Death Part 2. Because honestly, the M that they chose sucked. But this one was one that I saw on YouTube originally, and I was so absolutely pleased that it actually made it on here. Unfortunately, they put it later on in the film. But that one is a segment called Mormon Elders. And that one is an awesome one. It's about this old lady. She answers the door, and there's two Mormon elders outside of her house, you know, asking her about God and stuff. And she goes, and they ask if they can come in, and she says, "Oh well, my husband's out at the pharmacy. He's getting my pills." And they're like, well, we're going to come in anyway. So they grab her and drag her in, and they start beating her and torturing her. Anyways, you see the husband arrive at the house, and he's coming walking in holding the bag of medicine. And he comes walking in, and it's a complete turnaround. The wife is sitting there with a hammer beating these Mormon elders half to death. And she's going, oh my God, they were beating my head in. And he's going, oh, it's all right, it's all right. I understand. And these elders are just sitting there, laying bloody all over the place. And, you know, they're like, help me, and they die. And it was, M is for Mormon elders. That was fucking awesome. There was another one that they had. I don't remember what it was, M for what, but it had to do with this gang of bikers on big wheels. And they were chasing this girl on a big wheel. And you had all these different characters that were chasing after her. And they were trying to bring her down. And, you know, it's just this classic chase scene with these ones on big wheels. Funny as hell. And then you see this guy coming out of this crypt. You know, he was like a vampire, and he had a chalice of blood, and he comes out. And he, you know, you see, you think that, okay, well, she's now blocked. But the thing is that it turned out that it's an initiation, and she won. So that one is awesome. That one that one stuck out with me. Then there was another one that takes place on Halloween, and these ladies, they open the door to this little kid who's dressed up as a vampire. It turns out that he really is a vampire. He goes and he attacks the men, and then he's going after the old grandpa who's sitting at the thing in his chair in the living room. And the thing is that the old guy has a crossbow, and he shoots the vampire, and the vampire is sitting there, and he's dying, and he's laughing, and he's going, we're coming for you and stuff. And the thing is that the filmmaker just pulls out of the through the front door of the house and out to the mailbox. And on the mailbox it says, Van Helsing. And the name of it is called M is for Mailbox. So, honestly, I have to say that ABCs of Death 2.5 is an incredible praise to all these incredible independent first-time filmmakers who took the time and took the money and took the effort and did these 3-minute films. And they put so much love, they put so much into it, they put more than what the filmmakers in the other two installments put into it. Seriously. Because the other ones were too much full of ego, whereas these ones were trying to make something good. And it shows. And this is just installment of ABCs of Death. I can't say more about this film, about how good it is. So, anyway, so on our ratings, I give it a 5.0. It is awesome. Well, anyways, we only got a moment left, Mr. Island, so keep America strong, watch horror films. You got anything to say to the fans before we cut off?
No, just tune in next time for whatever the hell we were going to be doing, whatever movie we're going to be discussing.
Awesome.
I'm sure it'll be good.
And be ready for my next birthday next year at this time. All righty.